Hello, this is Saul Gonzalez, lead pastor of Lifehouse Church, and welcome to our podcast. Thank you so very much for joining us today. I believe that through this message, God will encourage you, challenge you, and better yet, change you for the glory of God and for the purposes God has called you. Enjoy this message. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You may be seated. I want to take this moment to welcome all our viewers that are online viewers from the different places of the United States. Welcome to Lifehouse, and I pray that this morning that there is a word from God from this house to your house, and I pray to your heart. We've been speaking about relationships. The idea is that there is a shift, there is a change that is in you that you need to do, that you need to own it. Own those areas where God has shown you deficiencies, where you are responsible for the inability to kind of carry relationships long-term. I'll say that again. A lot of us have shown or have proven that we, for whatever reason, have not been the right person to start relationships, to foment them, to cultivate them, and then to have them become a fruitful relationship, a long-term relationship. And a lot of us are so hurt from bad relationships and bad experiences where perhaps you were hurt, abused, and maybe even taken advantage of. And you are now a person who is leading life alone or living in a way that your relationships are not wholesome. Your relationships are not healthy. Your relationships are not satisfying. You're hurting. And perhaps you need to, all of us need to take a look at ourselves first. And today, I'm going to be sharing some practical basis or practical tools, truths from the Word of God with respect that will help you how to shift and how to restore worthy relationships, essential relationships. And I want to preface this by saying there are some relationships that you need to let go that are not healthy for you. They are toxic relationships. They are relationships that have to do with your past and not your future. That where God is bringing you from, out of, and not where God has taken you. And for that, you'll need discernment. For that, you'll need wisdom. For that, you'll need spiritual maturity, that it doesn't matter how. Some of us are so clingy and so codependent that you're afraid to transition, to move out on your own in the sense of saying, I need to start all over because your current relationships are not working for you, and they're not from God for you. You can sense it. You know it in your heart, and for that, you'll need wisdom and discernment. So I want to share this morning about, again, relationships, restoring the wisdom, the grace to restore broken relationships, especially the essential ones. I would just want to start by saying that few things compare to and impress us like the power, the prestige, the presence, or the brilliance, just the brilliance of a healthy Christian family. There's something attractive. There is something worth like almost envying a Christian family. And from time to time, you'll see them. You'll see a family where they either have young children or their children have grown up and they're young adults. And almost every single member of that family love God. They worship God. They lead a blessed life. They lead a balanced life. You see their relationships just bless other relationships. You see them prosperous. You see them together. You see them united. Not perfect. But your heart tells you this is true. This is not a head fake of a family, but this is a family that have found a formula or they found a way to live life here on this godforsaken world where enemies abound all around us, where the devil is loose, where our flesh wants to take the best of us, where there's lust all around us, that what the St. John spoke in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. The lust of the flesh, the lust of your eyes, and the pride of life are your triune diabolical trinity that are always, always after your life, after your peace, after your marriage, and after your relationships. But there's something brilliant, something that shines from a relationship, from a couple, from a family that learned how to make the best of their relationships. They learn how to love, how to respect, how to be patient, how to endure through tough seasons. They don't give up on themselves. They don't give up on each other. They don't give up on the marriage. different stages and phases when they're young, when they're mid-age, as they get older, certain couples just find themselves just going with the flow of life because there are certain immutable principles, timeless principles from the Word of God that will help you thrive no matter what age, what stage and phase your relationships find themselves. Conversely, and by the same token, there are a few things that can compare and depress us, like the tragedy of the malady of a broken and dysfunctional family. A lot of us come from those families, broken, dysfunctional. There was pain, there was abuse, there was verbal abuse, all kinds of neglect, where maybe one or both parents didn't serve God, and you are now a result. You are now wounded. You are walking with an orphan spirit, either from a lack of a parent or a father or a mother, or you've embraced the reality that you are dysfunctional because you come from a dysfunctional family where perhaps alcoholism and different drug abuse was evident and very prevalent. And you are now trying to say, Pastor, I need help. Because if you don't get healthy, if you're not healthy, if you don't ask God for wisdom, for what is called, what I'm going to refer to as spiritual maturity, your relationships are going to continue to just unfold and just, it'll be a debacle. It'll be chaos upon chaos for your future life. And but the power of a thriving family begins with the right set of dynamics, the right set of disciplines and direction. I'm going to say that again. The power of a thriving, healthy Christian family begins with the right set of dynamics. And I'm going to talk about that. The disciplines that are just part and parcel of learning how to start, cultivate, and then sustain healthy relationships for the long haul. Not for just 3 years or 5 years, but there are certain relationships that you're going to need for a lifetime. And for that, you're going to need wisdom and maturity in choosing those relationships. And then if you're already in a relationship, in a marriage, marriages are not easy. Just ask anyone. Divorce and breakups and separation and tension and anger and ire and even bitterness abound in marriages where the enemy is there because of a lot of us are part of blended families now. And that gets even more difficult and more challenging. And today I just want to talk about having the right disciplines, the right direction, and the right dynamics, that it was God's original intention and purpose for each and every one of us, and by extension, your family, to be his crowning achievement. You are God's crowning achievement. Thank God for angels. Thank God for the stars and the moons and the cosmos. Thank God. But when it all came to it, man, you young lady, you young man, you are God's crowning achievement, and God shines brightest when you are able to form relationships, form a home, a marriage. You belong to a household where there is peace instead of war all the time, where you know who you are, and every member of the family is loved unconditionally, is accepted unconditionally, not the behaviors that are aberrant. You don't need to accept the behaviors, but every member should know that they are loved, that they are respected, that they are accepted for who they are unconditionally. Why? Because God loves you unconditionally. God sees you unconditionally and accepts who you are unconditionally, even if you're misbehaving. God does not approve of your misbehavior, your conduct that is unbecoming, but God loves you all the time unconditionally. And when you begin to see, you begin to want to act like God, when you know that you've been cut after God's own cloth, how do I know that? Because you and I are formed in the likeness and the image of God. I'll say that again. You and I have been formed. You were created in the image and the likeness of God. That means you should look like your father. You should good. You carry your father's spiritual DNA. The DNA of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is your DNA. You and I were created in the likeness and the image of God. When you see each other the way God sees us, you begin to respect the other person. You don't have to live with the other person. You don't have to like their behavior, but you begin to respect the other person because you see, by extension, that they too have the image. They're made in the image and the likeness of God. I want you, everybody, to remember the thief. Say thief. Say it with me. Say thief. The Bible says in John 10:10 that the thief, that's the devil, the thief came to kill, steal, and destroy. I want you to remember that that's his job. That is the devil's aim. That is his goal. That is objective. You. He wants to come and steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to come and take. or steal your joy, your identity. He wants to steal that from you. He wants to come and kill your peace and your relationship with God. And then ultimately, his ultimate goal is he wants to destroy everything that God intended for you. That's his aim and that's his goal. But Jesus says, but I have come that you may have life. I'll say that again. Jesus says, but I have come that you may have life and that that life would be abundant, would be prosperous, would be an overflowing life, that God wants to have a relationship with you and you with God, that you should have a healthy and wholesome relationship with yourself, that when you see yourself, you should not loathe yourself, be angry at yourself, criticize yourself, talk to yourself or criticize or be a self-deprecate. No one here should be telling you, you probably wouldn't let anybody else tell you the things that you tell yourself. And then for you to be able to forge and form and foment relationships with others that are a lifetime and others is just for a season. If you're not married to the person, if they're not your inner circle, you shouldn't feel obligated. You shouldn't be so insecure that you let people around you, that you follow other people that are not following Christ. No one should be that desperate. Nobody should be that insecure that you follow people. You're part of a posse of people that don't love God, that their aim and their goal is not to serve God fully and faithfully. And if you're part of that person, if you're part of a posse, a group, a particular clique that you're just trying to be hip and they're in school or they're in the workplace or they're around you, they might even be family members. But you should not feel obligated to have to be so insecure that you lose your own identity and that you lose your own relationship with God. I want to talk up there, if you help me, the ministry and mandate to restore our essential relationships. That everyone has been given a ministry and a mandate to restore or to be restorative, to be redemptive, to practice forgiveness, to practice giving each other deference. Where there's a spirit, there's a sphere of being safe. You can be safe in that sphere of relationships. And for that, it is a ministry. The word ministry means it's a service. There is a mandate and that your relationships are always, essential relationships up there are always worth restoring. Relationships are always worth restoring because the Christian life is all about learning how to love God and love yourself and respect and love others, because that is what life is about. Life is about wholesome, healthy relationships. And your life, by the way, loses a lot of meaning. Your life loses a lot of its brilliance, its spark, its essence, if your relationships are not healthy. And some of us have proven that we don't know how to maintain healthy relationships, even friends or even relationships that with a mutual or a significant other. Maybe you were somebody who dated early, and ever since then, you've been hurt or abused or taken advantage of, or you are an abuser. You offend people. You don't know how to treat a young lady or how to treat a girl and or your wife, because you have never been taught what the Bible teaches, or others have never modeled how you treat a lady, how you treat a wife or a woman, how you treat somebody of the opposite sex, regardless of who they are, and how to treat others because they too have the image and the likeness of God. God has given us all the ministry of restoring relationships. So you are already, God's intention is that he's given you the ministry of how to restore or of restoring relationships. Maybe you don't know how, and I'm going to talk about it today. Some tools, some very practical but powerful principles of how to be restorative, how to restore, and then how to maintain healthy relationships. I want to just reiterate something that we've been talking about, relationships, that everything begins first and foremost with your relationship with God. Everything. Your relationship with God is foundational. If that relationship is not right, if your vertical relationship with God is not where it needs to be, you don't have to be perfect. You're always going to be stumbling. Don't let guilt and the spirit of self-condemnation take you down, take you out of church. There's nobody that's perfect. Everybody, all of us are sinners, that we've fallen short of the glory of God. But thank God for Jesus Christ, that every sinner has been made into a saint through Jesus Christ. You don't have to walk in guilt. You don't have to walk in self-condemnation. Don't let anyone, including the devil or yourself, have you live in the misery of guilt, because there is nobody perfect. All of us are sinners saved by grace. The moment that you trust Christ Jesus for your salvation, he not only saves you from your past and present, but also future sins. But if you practice sin, then the Bible says that you will be miserable. For he that practices sin, or the person that uses their salvation to practice sin, the Bible says, Paul says that he who practices sins becomes a slave of sin. So there are a lot of Christians who are Christian, who are born again, but they're a slave. Their minds are blind. They're a slave. They're a slave to pornography and lust. They're a slave to anger and bitterness. They're a slave to competition and jealousy. They're a slave to the different habits that this world and this body will embrace, even though you're a Christian. That doesn't mean you stop being a Christian. It doesn't mean that you stop being saved, but you're a slave. You're miserable. You're someone who's born again, but miserable because you practice and you follow the leading of your flesh. How many say amen? So you say, Pastor, how do I set free? How do I get my relationship right with God and stay right? The Bible says in Acts 3, verse 19, that you need to repent. That's it. You need to repent. I'm not shying away from that word. You need to repent. You need to repent from your sins and repent from your past behavior, from your evil deeds, from your evil thinking, for what you've done that you know you're wrong. You need to repent. And the Bible says, and then turn to God. And then turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. And then the times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Times of refreshing. The word refreshing here means renewal or restoring, so that you can be restored and you can be renewed in your right relationship with God. Not so that you're just saved. No, but that you're walking in harmony and fellowship with God. Because you practice the spirit of always repenting every time you stumble, every time you take a faux pas, a misstep, every time you know you've offended God, immediately repent, immediately turn to God, and then immediately you will receive from God the forgiveness of your sins. They will be wiped away, and your relationship with God will be refreshed, refreshed. Refreshed, like rebooted every time. God, I did it again. God, I stumbled again. God, I take responsibility and I repent. How many say amen? And your relationship with God will walk in the right step, in the right spirit, in the right keeping, no matter how many times you fail. We have our three kids here. Daniel's over there with the junior high class. But as children, they continue. They're kids. And they continuously, they might fall short here or there, but a parent's heart is always, we hit the refresh button all the time. Linda hits the refresh button with me all the time, even though I don't know why she needs to. Because, I mean, just I don't know. Okay, Romans 5:10, look at what it says. That even while we were God's enemies, even when you were still God's enemy, we were reconciled. Everyone say reconciled. Reconciled to him through the death of his son, Jesus. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Through his life. What I'm trying to say is, don't live in the past. Don't live with guilt trips. Don't live with self-condemnation. That's what I'm trying to say. You have a relationship with God. Every time you mess up, every time you fall and you stumble, repent. Repent and then turn to God. And then times of refreshing, your sins will be wiped away, and then you will be refreshed in your relationship. Secondly, our second most important relationship is the one you have with yourself and others. I've already shared and shared that in the last services, but I want to reiterate for somebody who's for the first time here or the first time online, your relationship with yourself is paramount. Your relationship with God is foundational and indispensable. But your relationship with yourself, young lady, young man, mister or sister, is paramount. You cannot mistreat yourself and not see yourself the way God sees you, and then be able to have wholesome relationship with others if you don't have a respectful, reverential, loving relationship with yourself. I'm not talking about being a narcissist. I'm not talking about being conceited and filled with pride and vain. I'm talking about seeing yourself the way God sees you, as his daughter, his son, that is sanctified, that you're a prince and a princess in the eyes of God, that you are special, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you are the apple of God's eye. Some time ago, somebody stole my car. I was in a bank in McFarland when it had a bank. I don't know if they have a bank now, but I parked my car. I walked out and my car was gone. Don't ever leave the keys there, okay? But I left the keys. That could have contributed to that. why are you laughing? So I'm thinking, you know what? Everybody knows me in McFarland. I'm a living legend to this day in McFarland. But it's only a population of 23, so why wouldn't I be? Okay. So I'm thinking somebody's playing a trick on me. Surely they're going to come around the block, and they're, you know, and I'm going to be cool. I'm just going to stand here till they come right over. And so 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then I figured it out. Somebody stole my car. I began to get upset. I went in there and I asked, can I borrow a phone? I called the police department, and I was upset that somebody, I was a college student at the time, and I was thinking, how am I going to go to college, et cetera, et cetera. And I began to get very upset, and I could feel it. And then the Holy Spirit came and just spoke to my heart and said, Saul, why are you acting that way? Why are you so upset? I thought the car belonged to me. I thought that was my car. And immediately it just shifted my paradigm. It shifted my perspective. And then I turned and said, God, somebody stole your car. I did. I said, ooh, I feel sorry for that person. Sick them. Go get them. And I said, I pity the person who stole God's car. And when you see that what you have and what you are, when you see how God has made you, you see how wonderfully and fearfully and how special you are. You are God's child. You are God's son and God's daughter. Treat yourself like it. Act like it. Move and walk like it because you are fearfully and wonderfully. You are special. And God has reconciled. God has reconciled us. Paul taught up there, help me, that the ability to get along with others is a mark of spiritual maturity. The ability, up there, just find it, there you go. The ability to get along with others is a mark, a sign of spiritual maturity. As a matter of fact, I want to right now submit to you. I will postulate with all the authority that the Word of God gives us, is that if you don't exercise, if you don't ask God for spiritual maturity, the wherewithal, the spiritual with-itness to understand who you are, and that to begin to walk in maturity, that you will fail in almost every endeavor and every relationship. I'm going to say that again, that unless you cultivate and you ask God, I need to become spiritually mature. Why, kids will always fight each other. Kids will always fight for the toys. Kids will always compete. Kids will always learn how to cry and how to beg and how to lie. Our kids, they'll do it, and so do you, thinking that if you just cry crocodile tears, you're going to move a God that knows everything. But when you develop spiritual maturity, with that spiritual maturity comes the gifts, the tools, the mindset, the deference, the humility, the understanding that in order to engage and foment and foster healthy relationships, you need spiritual maturity. Say it with me. Say spiritual maturity. Say it again. Spiritual maturity. Romans 15:5 says, may God develop maturity in you so that you get along with each other. May God develop. So that is something that you can develop, that God develops in you. Spiritual maturity so that you can get along with others. And the reason some of us are so selfish, so superficial, so small, that you are reactive and you are toxic is because you need roots. You need to grow. By the way, this summer we're going to be preaching a course that is called Roots, for you to get rooted and develop spiritual maturity, because that is the main ingredient to how to foster, cultivate, maintain, sustain spiritual, healthy relationships with God, yourself, and others. And since God wants his family to be known for his love for each other, there's a lot of times that broken fellowship, when you are broken fellowship with God and with others, it is a disgrace. It is a discredit to you and the gospel of Jesus Christ and to other believers, that sometimes we act so selfishly. You're a Christian, but at work, nobody knows or you're a Christian, or they don't want to be the kind of Christian you are. You're a Christian, and maybe you might invite somebody to go to church, but they don't want to come to the church you go to. Not if you behave immature and so superficial, the way a lot of us do act. Why would they want to go to heaven when you and I live in such a way that it does not, it is a discredit to the kingdom of God and to the gospel of Christ Jesus. I want to just real quickly, how to relationship. I'm going to go to here or there. I'm going to share with you some principles. I want you to write them down or take a picture on this screen. How to relationship and restore a relationship. Whether that's your spouse, that's yourself, that's with God, with others, or relationships. There's a shift that God wants you to do. And in this case, there's five or six that I want you to do. Just embrace. Number one, you need to talk to God before you talk to the person. So this premise right here, talk to God before you talk to the other person or the persons. Already, this takes into account that you're going to be able to, you're going to need to communicate. No relationship will heal by itself just through silence. There is already the built-in premise that you're going to talk to that person, but before you engage in conversation with that person, that aunt, that uncle, that friend, that cousin, the person that your spouse especially or in your inner circle, that son, that daughter where you've strained your relationship, you're first going to talk to God before you talk to the other person. If you pray about the conflict instead of gossiping to a friend, if you give God a chance to change hearts, beginning with yours, their heart, both your hearts, all our relationships would go smoother if people would just take time to talk to God before they engage in an angry conversation with somebody else to settle scores. The psalmist, if you can learn a secret from David, here's David's secret. David would ventilate vertically. If you have it up there, help me. David would ventilate vertically. Just look at Psalm 21, Psalm 23, Psalm 78, Psalm 84. David learned how to talk to God, how to ventilate vertically, because God is never surprised by your feelings. He's never surprised by your hurts and your pain. God knows your heart. He knows your hurts. He knows your hang-ups, your handicaps, and your hell-bent habits. God knows them already. So learn to talk to God first. Also, that most conflict is rooted in unmet needs. Most conflict, the reason why we fight, the reason somebody gets angry at you or me and vice versa, is because you have a need that is not being met. You have a thought. You have a presupposition. You're assuming certain things. It's called a presupposition. You're assuming that this person is going to do this, is going to get there on time, is going to treat you well, and then it doesn't happen. And because there's an unmet need either on your part or somebody else's part, a deal or a part of a relationship agreement, the expectations of relationships. And when they're not met, that relationship gets strained. And all of a sudden, there begins to fracture. And then all of a sudden, that person says something that is unkind to you. Upset, and you can tell by the tone of voice, and then all of a sudden is an all-out war. All of a sudden, words are being spewed, and people are now angry, and when you and I get angry, we are capable of hurting each other, and so unmet needs is often the root cause, and anytime we expect anyone else to meet the needs that only God can meet you. I'll say it again. Anytime we expect anyone to meet a need that only God can fulfill, we are setting ourselves up for disappointment and bitterness. Only God can meet all my needs. Only God can meet my needs for emotional correspondence. Only God can make me blessed. Only God can make me truly happy. No person out there can meet your needs except God. That's already the false premise that somebody, you married somebody because they're going to make you happy. You've got something else coming, Mr. and Sister. You are going to be so disappointed because that other person is not going to be able to make you happy. Only God can, and he'll give you joy, and he'll give you peace, and he'll give you confidence, and he'll put a skip in your walk, and he'll put an anointing over your life that is enviable, an anointing, a grace. Thank you for laughing. A favor. Everybody else thought I had a speech impediment, and I don't have a speech impediment. Oh, that's the way. A lot of you think that's the way you say speech, but never mind. Number two. Always take the initiative. And if you want to restore a relationship that's worthy, that is essential, that is important, take the initiative. So after you talk to God and after you put yourself in the right framework, take the initiative. Because it doesn't matter whether you are the offender or the offended, God expects you to make the first move. Don't wait on them. That is a deference. That is a misstep on your part because God wants to reward you. Whoever starts it first, whoever begins the cleanup, whoever takes the initiative, whoever owns it, God is going to bless you greater. Okay, so envy the blessing. Envy to be in the right position with God. So take the initiative because God is going to give you wisdom. He's going to give you grace. When you come and you take the initiative and you come and have a conversation with the person, leave all your weapons behind. Leave all your arguments behind. Don't come ready to justify you. Don't come ready to defend yourself. Just come and take responsibility for your part. Why? Because restoring broken fellowship is so important that Jesus, restoring broken fellowship was so important that Jesus said it should be and should take priority even over worship. I'll say that again. Restoring your relationships is so important that Jesus says it's even more important than coming to church and worshiping and giving your offerings. Look at Matthew 5, 23 and 24. So when you enter a place of worship, when you come to a house of worship and you're about to make an offering, give an offering, and you suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you, abandon your offering and leave immediately and go tell that friend and go to this friend and make things right. Then and only then come back and worship. And after you work things out, then give God your offerings and worship God. How many say amen? That's how important God takes relationships. They're more important, and worship is really important. Giving is supremely important, but you being right with God and others is more important. Never believe the myth and the lie that time heals. Let me assure you that time heals nothing. As a matter of fact, time can cause you to further fester and by extension get frustrated and frustrate your most sacred, special, and solemn relationships. Acting quickly, acting in accordance to God, acting with humility, taking the initiative is what is going to help you become a peacemaker, a healer of relationships, because we all sin. And remember that sin blocks fellowship with God. It sabotages your relationship with your spouse and your loved ones. And watch this, sin or the spirit of unforgiveness keeps your prayers from being remembered, keeps your prayers from being answered or acknowledged from God. Number three, be sympathetic. Be sympathetic. Put yourself in the other person's shoes. You want to heal relationships? You want to restore relationships? Be considerate. Be considerate and put yourself in the other person's shoes. Strive to understand and sympathize with the other person's hurts, their past, their present struggles, their insecurities, their doubt, their pain, what they've gone through, especially their hurt and their insecurities and their feelings. When you put yourself in their shoes, you are doing what God does with you. Because God does not come angry at you and ready to put you in your place. God understands where you're coming from. He knows why you were selfish. He knows why you were crying. God knows why you're struggling. Because God sympathizes and empathizes with you. And you and I, if you want to be a healer of relationships, if you want to restore relationships, be sympathetic and put yourself in the other person's shoes. Here's a good rule for life. Use your ears more than you do your mouth when you're restoring relationships. Use your ears, hear more than you're willing to speak. So begin with sympathy and not solutions. Up there, help me. Begin with sympathy. Never mind the solution. Begin with saying, we have to talk. Can we talk? And like I said, leave all your weapons behind. Focus on their feelings and not their facts. Focus on their feelings and not the fact that they offended you. Not that they missed an appointment. Not that they let you down. Not that they betrayed you. Why? Where does that come from? And you'll find somebody who's hurting. You'll find somebody on the other side of the conversation who needs to be considered. Listen while they unload without becoming defensive. Listen to the person. Listen. That means making time. There's a lot of men here that don't want to spend time listening to our wives. So you get defensive. You get angry. You get blusterous. And you want to just stiff arm your wife through intimidation instead of sitting down and listening to her hurt, listening to her feelings. And even if they unload, men, stay steady. Remember, you're the man. Never mind. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. When you understand, and if you can understand even if you don't agree. You can understand even if you don't agree. I think I want to be deferential here. I want to be deferential because there's a lot of material here that I need to maybe not run through so quickly. There's three more just principles about restoring relationships. But I want to be time sensitive to everybody that here. And so would you bow your heads? Just let's bow our heads. I want to ask the Holy Spirit. The psalmist said in Psalm 73, he said, when I was hurt, when my heart was bitter and my feelings were hurt, I was senseless and ignorant. And like a brute beast, I did not understand you, God. I did not understand. So as you humble yourself, as you as you close your eyes, just for a minute, just bow your heads. The psalmist says, David, when my heart was bitter and my feelings were hurt, I did things that were senseless and ignorant. And just like a brute beast, I did not understand you, O God. I took matters into my own hands. I said things I shouldn't have said. I did things that I shouldn't have done because I was hurt, because I felt left out. My pride was wounded. My feelings were hurt. And I don't know how many men, how many fathers have done something to our sons or to our daughters, said something back because your feelings were hurt. How many wives have said things that were unkind and unbecoming to your husband or to your sons or daughters because your feelings were bitter. You had bitter emotions that you allowed time to fester and then frustrate and take you down a path of bitterness. And today, I'd like to just pause here. And for those of you in the audience, that if you want to be restorative, if you want to be redemptive, if you really covet and you long to have healthy relationships, you've got to let God lead you in this process of being a peacemaker, of being a peacemaker. The Word of God says that blessed are the peacemakers. Happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Let's pray. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for everyone in this audience that first to become a peacemaker with God, to reconcile with God, and then with ourselves, to forgive ourselves, to give ourselves room, to give ourselves deference and space to forgive ourselves, and then to be able to decide that we're going to be a peacemaker. We are going to approach God first and pray to God, spend time with God before we approach someone. And then as we do that, we're going to walk with wisdom. We're going to walk with wisdom and be deferential, that we will speak peace, that we will not come already with our arguments in hand, but already allow the person to share their thoughts, be sympathetic to somebody else's feelings, to put ourselves in the other person's shoes. And then and only then, God will begin to bring about the kind of healing, for especially for those essential relationships that we long to have with our parents, with our children, with our spouse, with our siblings, and with those significant others that God has put around our sphere of influence. And I pray that in Jesus' name, that you enjoy that type of grace, that type of spiritual maturity, and that favor from God. I pray in Jesus' name. For those of you online, we want to bless you. We want to thank you for taking this half hour with us and just being part of this message. Would you share this message? Would you just pray about subscribing and following us? And then especially pray that if any part of this message has touched your heart, that you'll respond in the affirmative. In Jesus' name, we love you. We'll be praying for you. And let's just give the Lord a clap offering. Lifehouse here live. Let's give a clap offering. We bless you and we love you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Thank you so very much for joining us today on the Lifehouse Podcast. I pray and hope this message has encouraged, inspired, and challenged you to grow closer to God. If you would like to be a part of what God is doing here at Lifehouse, visit our website at lifehousechurch.com. That's lifehousechurch.com for more information, or consider subscribing and share it with one of your friends and family. Thank you again for being part of our journey, your journey, that will lead you to know God better, grow together, and go serve and make a difference. Thank you again. God bless you. See you next time.